Our Old Testament reading this morning is going to come from the book of Jeremiah. And we'll be reading from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, verses 27 through 34, which is on page 680 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own sin. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Our epistle reading will come from 2 Timothy this morning. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, through verses beginning at verse 14 and reading through chapter 4, verse 5, and it is found on page 1039 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, we'll be reading from chapter 18 of Luke's gospel, verses 1 through 8. It is found on page 911 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, "Vindicate me against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continued coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. I have a friend that was running for municipal judge a few months back who asked me if I would help in her campaign. Told her I would, and I learned several important things, interesting things at least, that even if you have the qualifications, there's a lot you have to go through. If you're going to become a judge, first of all, you have to get your name on a ballot. You can't just say, you know, "I'm qualified to be a judge, therefore y'all vote for me." In order to get on the ballot, you have to be able to collect at least 1,000 signatures from registered voters in the district where you plan to run. And so that's what I was helping my friend do. I was helping collect signatures so that her name could be placed on the ballot. So I went down to the store one Saturday morning, and that's what I did. I solicited for signatures. I began by asking people if they were registered voters, and if so, would they mind signing a petition so that my friend's name could be placed on the ballot. I said I thought that she might make a good judge. I remember asking one young man if he was a registered voter, and he looked at me and waved me off contemptuously and said no. Then he walked on by. And I remember wanting to ask him a little bit further, you know, why he wasn't a voter, but he continued to wave me off. And then he got halfway down the block and he yelled back, "It doesn't make any difference anyway." I wanted to have a deeper conversation with him to convince him that it does make a difference, that we are fortunate enough to live in a country where we have the opportunity to vote, and that there are many places in the world where that opportunity is not afforded. And I wanted to talk to him about the fact that many people died so that he might be able to have the right to vote, but he said no, doesn't make any difference. I hear that a lot. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference what I do. Doesn't make any difference. No one's listening. No one cares. No one listens to our voices. Doesn't make any difference. I also hear that, unfortunately, sometimes in the church. In fact, I wonder if that's the reason why some people refuse to pray, because they believe that it will not make any difference. I know all of you pray this morning. I know we pray here at Alney. We pray for each other. We pray for our country. We pray for the world. We pray for healing. We pray for forgiveness. But I wonder sometimes if we really think it makes any difference. I remember talking to a man several years ago, and he was telling me a problem that he had, and I told him that he ought to go home and pray on it. And he said, "Preacher, I don't pray anymore." What? I said, you don't pray anymore. Why don't you pray? What do you mean you don't pray anymore? And he says, well, all I know is that I don't think that God hears me. God either doesn't hear me, or God doesn't like me, or maybe God's asleep, but all I know is that I pray and I pray, and God never seems to answer my prayers. Doesn't seem to make any difference. I admired his candor. If we are honest, I suspect we can all identify a little bit with that gentleman's sentiments. We have all prayed for something at one time. Maybe we prayed for lots of things, and we have prayed and prayed, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. Maybe we prayed for healing for someone that we loved. Maybe we prayed for a family to be brought back together. Maybe we prayed for something that we thought we needed, but we prayed, and it didn't seem to materialize. Didn't seem to make any difference. Maybe we didn't stop praying as the gentleman did that I referred to, but maybe we just simply prayed in a manner, or started praying in a manner, that doesn't really, you know, reflect any serious engagement with God. We pray in vague generalities because we don't want our hearts to be broken. We don't want to be disappointed, because we believe that if we pray, it really won't make any difference. Jesus is concerned about that sentiment. He is concerned that his people might lose heart. So in our gospel lesson this morning, he tells a parable about a woman who is determined to make a difference. The woman, of course, is not just any woman, but she is a widow, which means she is extremely vulnerable in all kinds of ways. In the ancient world, of course, women in general were always vulnerable. Women could not sue anyone on their own. They could not speak in public on their own. They were not even to be seen in public on their own. So women could not do anything on their own. But this woman is a widow. She doesn't have a man who could sue on her behalf. She doesn't have a man who could speak on her behalf. She doesn't have a man who might be able to take care of her. She is alone, a widow. And in the Hebrew, the word widow means silent one. One who doesn't have any voice. Think of all the vulnerable people in our world today. People that have no voice. People who are extremely vulnerable. Had this woman only suffered the fact that she was a widow, maybe there would be a little bit of hope for in this parable that Jesus tells. But that's not her only problem. Also in this parable is a judge. And we are told that he is an unjust judge. He doesn't fear God, and he doesn't fear people. He is totally corrupt, totally narcissistic, totally egoistic. He's like that judge in Pennsylvania several years back who was convicted of taking bribes from developers who built juvenile detention centers and then presided over the sentencing of juveniles who he then sent to those very same centers. Kids for Cash, I believe it was called. But he was like a judge like that, totally uncaring about justice. And this is the judge that this widow, this vulnerable widow, petitions, has to petition for justice. The NRSV that The RSV that we read this morning says that this woman goes to the judge seeking vindication. But I like the translations which use the word justice. That's what she goes seeking. Give me justice. This woman, this widower, this very vulnerable individual who could have easily said, it won't make any difference. I'm just the widow and this judge is an unjust judge. I'm not even going to attempt to petition him. But she doesn't. Every day she goes and she confronts this judge and she has the same petition. Give me justice. Give me justice. We can imagine the judge trying to go to work and seeing this woman. Give me justice. We can imagine him going out to dinner and seeing her. Give me justice. We can imagine him being with his family and the woman showing up. Give me justice. Give me the justice that is due me. Give me justice. And in the end, it makes a difference. Jesus says she finally wears the judge down. He grants her her request, not because he's a just judge, but he grants her her request because she is persistent, because she refuses to leave him alone. She refuses to surrender. She refuses to take no for an answer. She refuses the world the way that it is. She refuses the injustice that is all around her. She wants nothing more but to have justice, and so she refuses to leave him alone. And so he grants her the justice that she is looking for. And Jesus wonders if there will be faith. Will there be such faith when the Son of Man appears? There's a lot to be said about persistence, of course. Every time I hear this parable, I'm reminded of the story about Mother Teresa, who met with a number of executives several years ago in New York. She was looking for funding for a venture of hers, a medical venture of hers, and she thought that these executives might be able to help her, and so she went to New York to meet with these executives, and they had already decided beforehand that they were not going to be able to give her any money. But she eventually arrived and was seated across from these executives, a great big large mahogany desk, and they listened to her request, and when she was finished, they said, we appreciate what you do. We really love the work that you are doing, but unfortunately, we're not going to be able to commit any funds at this time. And Mother Teresa replied, let us pray. She said, dear God, I pray that you will soften the hearts of these executives to see how necessary it is to help your needy children. Amen. And then she renewed her plea, and once again the executives renewed their answer. They say, we're sorry, but we're not going to be able to commit. We just can't do it at this time. And Mother Teresa said, let us pray. And again she said, dear God, I pray that you will soften the hearts of these executives. Help them to see how necessary it is to help your needy people. Amen. And then she renewed her plea. And again, they said, we're just sorry. We really would love to. And she said, let us pray. And again, she repeated her prayer. And when she opened her eyes, they had the checkbook opened because she had wore them down. In one of the churches, the first church I served in Atlanta, we used to have a time for joys and concerns. We would allow people in the congregation to rise and to share whatever joys or concerns that they might have before we prayed the prayers of the people. And there was one person, Nancy Smith was her name, and she always had a concern She would always rise and share that concern. Nancy was a middle-aged woman. She was kind of one of those, you know, folk artsy kind of people. But she always had the same concern, and she always asked for prayer for a job. Please pray that I will find a job. Sunday after Sunday, that was her same prayer. Week after week, year after year, I was there for 6 years, and she would always pray the same prayer. God, pray that God will help me find a job. I remember one Sunday she stood up and she announced that she didn't have a concern this Sunday, but she had a joy. And so everybody was waiting with rapt attention, and she said, I finally found a job, and I want to give God thanks that I finally found a job. And the whole congregation erupted in applause and thanksgiving, giving God thanks that Nancy had finally found a job. But then the next Sunday, she stood up again. This time she had a concern. That job God gave me, she said, didn't work out. So please pray that God will give me a job. I had to admire her persistence. Jesus, too, wants us to be persistent. But Jesus isn't saying that God in any way is like the unjust judge. He wants us to understand that God is a loving, gracious God who wants nothing but the best for each and every one of us. We don't have to badger God. When I was a teenager, I remember we learned a new word. It was nagging, nag. And every time my mother would get after me about something, I'd always say, Mom, stop nagging. But Jesus reminds us that we don't have to nag God. We don't have to nag God for what we need. God is a gracious God, a loving God. God is a God who knows what we need and wants to give us the best. We don't have to badger and nag God. But he does want us to be persistent. He wants us to be persistent in prayer. Because he wants us to understand that prayer does make a difference. Not because it changes God, but because it changes us. It transforms us. Prayer is what helps to deepen and to cultivate our relationship with God. Prayer is what helps us to stay grounded in the source of life. Through prayer, we are constantly reminded who we are and whose we are. Prayer makes a difference because it transforms and changes us. I agree with Wendell Berry in his book, J.B.R. Crow, when he has one of his characters say, perhaps all of the good that has ever come here in this place has come because people prayed it into existence. We are called to be people who pray and people who are persistent in prayer. But that doesn't mean that all of our prayers are going to be answered in the way that we want them to be answered. God is not some great big heavenly slot machine whose purpose is to give us whatever we want. Oftentimes we don't even know what we want. We're like, kind of like Nancy Smith. We don't always know exactly what it is we need or want. Sometimes looking back, I give God thanks that God didn't answer all of my prayers in the way that I wanted them answered. We don't always know the purposes of God. God's ways are not our ways. We don't know where we are in the unfathomable purposes of God. And so sometimes our prayers may not go answered in the way we want them answered because we can't see the big picture. We don't always know what God's purposes, how God's purposes are working itself out in our lives and in the life of the world. But Jesus is not just talking about any kind of prayer this morning. But Jesus is talking about a particular kind of prayer. He wants us to pray for a particular kind of thing. He wants us to pray for justice. That's what he's talking about. He wants us to pray for justice, for God's justice, for God's righteousness. He wants us to pray that things will be done on earth just as it is here, just as it is in heaven. He wants us to pray that God's healing and God's forgiveness and God's love will one day permeate this whole world. He wants us to pray for justice, to be persistent in the pursuit of justice. Sometimes it's easy for us to lose heart. Sometimes it's easy to look around the world and just think that it doesn't make a difference. But the things that we do for the kingdom, that the prayers that we pray for the kingdom, it doesn't seem to make any difference. Sometimes it seems that no one really cares about the ways of God. No one is really concerned about God's justice. And we lose heart. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was telling me of some of the work that she was doing in her community. And she said that when she first started, how easy it was for her to become disheartened. She said, first I started a soup kitchen and no one couldn't get anybody else to be enthused about that. And then we started to reaching out to people in the community, and every effort seemed to go unappreciated. It didn't seem to make a difference. We didn't seem to be changing any minds. It didn't seem to make a difference. And all I wanted to do was express the love of God and the justice of God in the midst of that community. I wanted to be the light of the world, but it didn't seem to make any kind of difference. At every turn, it seems like I was being defeated by the forces and powers of the world. It didn't seem to make a difference. Then she said she remembered this story about praying, this story about being persistent, this story about never giving up, remembering the words of Jesus, never give up, never stop praying, stop being persistent. Always seek God's justice. Always seek God's righteousness. Always continue to be the light that God has called you to be. It may seem like it doesn't make a difference, but it does. All the work that you're doing for the kingdom, it makes a difference. Because one day God will get the kind of world that God wants. I think sometimes that God is waiting on us. In fact, the older I get, the more convinced I am of that. Sometimes we're waiting on God, and we're, God, when are you going to make a difference? God, when are you going to come? God, when are you going to bring the kingdom? But the older I get, the more convinced I am that God is waiting on us. God has already done what God has promised to do. God has already brought us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has already showed us what we need to do. God has already made the way available. But now God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to be fired up about the kingdom. Waiting on us to be fired up about God's righteousness, God's justice. This is a parable that Jesus is telling, of course. And every time we read a parable, you know, we look and try to find ourselves in the parable. And many of us, I think, identify with the widow in this parable. But what if the widow in this parable was God? Often in the Bible, we are told that God identifies with the most vulnerable people, with orphans and widows and strangers and the poor and the broken and those who are in need of healing. What if the widow was God, and God is pleading with us day and night, give me justice. Give me righteousness. Give me the justice that I want. Give me the justice that I need. What if we, us human beings, what if we were like the unjust judge? Isn't that the way we human beings are sometimes? We neither fear God or we fear human beings. We're all in it for ourselves. Sometimes we don't care about justice, whatever serves us, whatever serves our particular purpose. But what if God is the widow pleading with us? Give me justice. Give me righteousness. Give me the justice that I'm looking for. Give me the justice that can heal your communities. Give me the justice that can heal the world. Give me justice. You think that would make a difference? Think it would make a difference how we hear this story? Think it would make a difference in how we respond? Will it make a difference? Jesus promises that all of our efforts will make a difference. All of our efforts for the kingdom will make a difference. All the work we do, whether we realize it or not, will make a difference. God's kingdom is coming. God's justice is coming, whether we want it to or not. God will finally have God's way, the kind of world that God wants. Jesus says, be persistent. Pray for it. Work for it. Because it is surely coming. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us as your people to be people of hope in the midst of darkness. Sometimes it seems like our efforts are so puny given the state of the world. Sometimes it is easy for us to stay encouraged. But you have reminded us that you have called us to be people of prayer. You've called us to be people of love. You've called us to be people who show your justice and righteousness in everything that we do. Help us to continue to be that light. Help us to continue to seek your justice. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.